Well, good afternoon. We're so glad you're here today as we come for this time of memorial for our brother, Don Warren, who made his exit. It'll say on his death certificate, I believe, 431, but it's actually 405. And when it went click, click, and absent from the body, present with the Lord, just like that, in a seamless fashion. And we praise the Lord as we come together tonight. And in just a little bit, you have an opportunity to stand up where you are if you want to say a word about Don. We'll call on you to do that at the appropriate time. Dane, come and lead us in scripture and prayer.
I'm going to read to you this evening Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fail. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Will you join me in prayer, please? Heavenly Father, we just pause and say, praise be to God for the life of Don Warren. Father, I thank you today for Don's testimony. Father, I thank you today for Don's love for people, in particular, your people. Father, I thank you that Don Warren got it. Lord, he got you. And Father, I thank you today for all the seeds that he has planted, that others have been used by you to harvest. God, I thank you for all the seeds that are still out there waiting for harvest that Don Warren faithfully, day in and day out, as you put him before people, planted. Father, I thank you today for his faithfulness to serve, to give. Father, I thank you today that Don Warren loved you and loves you at this moment with everything he's got. Father, we praise you for what you did in his life. Father, we praise you for the way you touched so many people's lives through his life. Father, I pray today that his legacy will be honoring and pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Saved a wretch like me. God's people said, amen. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord, Most High. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord, Most High. Strong tower, the righteous run into it, they are saved. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, the righteous run into it, they are saved. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Four songs that we'll sing, two we've already sung, two more, were all favorites of Don's. He loved these songs. And when I asked him about what kind of service he wanted, he said, well, make sure it's in this building. So we've satisfied that and his wishes. And he said, and make sure it's upbeat. So we're going to do our best to satisfy that too, okay? At this time, we want to show a few pictures of Don, just a few. I know this will prick your memory about some things and be thinking about a word you may want to say, a testimony about Don as we view these pictures. A little trip down memory lane. A lot more memories. Stand up where you are if you want to say a word about Don. And speak loudly.
I'm married, my wife and sister, Don's brother-in-law, he's like a brother, loved him like a brother. And he was so good, he was always getting all of us, and he had some of the most beautiful eyes I've ever seen, her blue eyes. He was so good to everyone. That's what I want.
Frank Sinatra.
I like Don. When they're stuck in the South, he always reminded me of home. I got rid of the accent. And I like that. Really, I wanted to talk to my grandmother's dad. Never been able to pick up the jacket stuff. He was a picture of the baseball game.
I just love to see him and meet another drummer pop off on the field. Seeing him up there, so loved.
Amen. Yeah, but Keith claims he installed a dishwasher at his house. So. Still need proof of that.
I got the opportunity to know Don really just through our church family. I don't know how long ago. The first time I remember meeting him, it was right after his wife had died, and I remember him laying on the altar at Georgetown Elementary School, and getting up and just thanking the church family for being there with him. And there wasn't very many Sundays that he came that he didn't offer some kind of word of encouragement to me. Just, you know, I don't know. It just put me at ease, whatever he would say to me. But the last time I got to see him, he kind of challenged me and Gary and Dave and Steven. He's like, you know, what are you guys learning from this? You know, what's in it? What does it mean? And He had a way of doing that, kind of getting to the point without a lot of trouble getting there. And really, he, in the midst of asking that question, he kind of answered himself. He was like, I have made my peace, and every night when I get ready to go to sleep, I just say, Lord, if you're ready to take me, take me. And if you want me to live another day, I want to do it for you. And so I've kind of just had this kind of phrase in my head since I had that conversation with him, that if it's, Lord, if you want to give me the next breath, I want to breathe it for you. If you want me to take the next step, I want to walk it for you. If you want me to paint a little bit on this porch today, I want to paint it for you. And, he talked about painting the porch, and I was like, man, if I was where you were, the last thing on my mind would be painting this porch, But it was just who he was, Like, God, I'm going to let you be in whatever it is that I'm doing. And, I got the privilege of meeting a young man who, Don, loved his dad through his death. And that boy has grown into a man because of God, because of Don's influence, because of God's willingness to pour into his father. And it's changed his life, and in turn changed my life. And like everybody here said, that's kind of just who he was. I'm gonna pour into whoever's in front of me.
Amen.
He was blessed, and I'm blessed.
Tell him who you are.
I am Donnie's sister. And I just want to say thank you for being his family for the last 30 years of his life. Thank you very much for all that you have given him. And for him being here with you. Thank you. I know where he is now. And thank the Lord, too.
I get to say two things before I read. One, when you pass through those doors, that was sweat equity, an investment in the kingdom of God. And it's very symbolic because Don and Martha and I and some other folks spent hours upon hours upon hours on that door, the doors up front that you came through. And I believe that that was a very symbolic thing because there were a lot of people that he was the door for the kingdom for. The other is, Don worshiped with his heart, but he also worshiped with his hands a lot. Reading John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. You know this, but it's good to hear it anyway. Let not your heart be troubled, Jesus said. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going. How do we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. I'm going to pray, and essentially I'm praying for all of us together. And so I encourage you, as I'm praying, for you to be praying for the people who are around you. First of all, for the family, all those of you who are here, Don, Martha's family. Then those of us that were the other family, praying for one another as we process what all this means. As he goes on into the kingdom and we have to labor here for a little while longer, let's bow and pray. Father, we do give you glory and honor and praise, and we are able to say that we know Don is doing that in a very real sense that we cannot even comprehend right now. We thank you for being able to share part of our lives with him and part of his life. Lord, he has blessed us. He has been an encouragement to us. And Lord, there are countless people that can say the very same thing about him that we will never know and he may never know. But you do. Lord, I ask you to come and minister to Martha and the family tonight. That Lord, you would be with them. Lord, we all know the truth. We all know that he is with you. But Lord, there is still a hole, a gap that has to be filled. And Lord, we are asking you to come and fill up that gap of grief. Lord, I ask that as we think about Don all the time, that we would always think about joy. The joy that he had in knowing you, and that his life had been changed, and that his eternity was set, and it was not what he was destined for. It's what you brought him to. And Lord, we glorify you for that. So Lord, I'm asking that as we consider all these things, as we ponder being human and having lives that don't last forever in the body, that Lord, we will remember your ministry to us and the fact that Jesus died on the cross and came back to life on the third day. And that we take great joy and great comfort in the fact that he is coming back, and that when he comes back, we will share that forever, and Don will be a part of that. Thank you, Lord. Minister to us, teach us, direct us, and comfort us. Let us do that for one another. In Jesus' name and for the sake of the kingdom of God, we ask this. Amen.
The first time that I ever met Don, we had a translator and who spoke both of our languages and could translate where we can understand one another. John introduced me to Don. We had moved to Savannah. The year was 1993. We'd come here to plant a church. And led by the Lord, we had begun we had our first meeting first Tuesday night of February 1993 in our living room. John and Tina were there with Audrey and myself and our two children. Very soon after that, we met Don. Don had showed up at Dunkin' Donuts. He was living in his car. Mr. B gave him a job. At that time, the Bonifacios were part of the Fortune 500 of Savannah, Georgia. And they owned the Dunkin' Donuts stores in Savannah, and the whole family worked there. Mr. and Ms. B and three kids, and then their friends who became their family. If you worked there, you became family. That's how it was. Don got a job. John befriended him and then led him to Jesus. And he became a part of that integral group that planted this church. And we praise God for that. We've had many adventures together, up and down and all around. I thought, as I was thinking about my remarks for tonight, and they will be just minuscule compared to what's in my heart. It's hard to put that all out there. You know what I'm talking about. But in Proverbs 18:24, it says, "One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." Comma, Don Warren. He has stuck with us, and we have stuck with him, because his life changed. No matter what had gone before, and just talking to his sister today and getting a few more details about his life and about things that he experienced in his life, and to see the, as that old hymn says, "What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my life." And truly, not a perfect man, but a forgiven man. Does that describe anybody else here? Now, you women can speak for yourselves. And I'm sure there are plenty of women here who'll be willing to describe how imperfect some of the men who are here. I would take Don with me sometimes. I'd call him up and say, "Hey, man, what you doing? So why don't you come with me?" And we'd go see somebody, because I'd have a plan, but then the plan always included detours. And we'd take plenty of those. It's kind of like one of my cousin who's a preacher. His kids were asked, "Well, how do you describe what he does?" They said, Well, I rode with him one day. We drive around and stop a lot." And Don was, we were on one of those adventures one day. We were driving around and stopping a lot. And we stopped at hospice. We'd gone there to see an old friend of mine who was dying, who had cancer. And I remember something clicked in Don that day. It was a ministry God was already giving him. It was, some would call it an anointing in his life that he was had already begun to walk in. But that day, something extra clicked. I remember where we were standing. And God began to work in Donnie's life in a special way, gave him a superabundant compassion for people with cancer. That friend of mine who later came to know the Lord, and it was a blessing. I don't know how many times a week Don would go by and visit with him and go into the room. Joel introduced us through a ministry he had out at hospice to another fellow, Mr. Ed. And we had a similar experience with Ed. And Don would go by and see Ed and encourage him out there. This was one of many people. Don, in his sometimes abrupt Don way, but an abruptness that was baptized in love, would share the good news of Jesus with people. And Jesus is right. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men. And when he says all men, that's all kinds of people to me, which literally it did. But a special personal surprise happened for Don and for me in the last few years. He and my parents had known one another from the time I met him. They got to know him. But my mom was diagnosed with cancer 3 years ago, 3.5 years ago, when she died in March. She and Don, what did he call them? He said, we're partners. We're partners. I don't know how many times a week Don would call my mother. I'd go by and she'd recount their talk. Sometimes they'd talk an hour, hour and a half on the phone. Yes, she did. That was a mutual love, a phileo kind of love, a brotherly, sisterly love, partners in the gospel. The sorrow was in his soul. But today, they have been reunited as of Monday afternoon at 4:05. That reunion took place. Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he says, "Now you are Christ's body, and individually members of it." He says also, "If one member suffers, all members suffer." There are times when I talk to Don, and here Don is dying with cancer. And as I talk to Don, I would feel, as he talked about my mother, I would feel my mother's suffering in his voice. Now, Don didn't plan that out. Don didn't understand that completely. Don was just responding to the Holy Spirit and being the person God wanted him to be. How many times did the Lord rescue Don from the brink of death? I mean, he had to have looked over the edge numerous times. And you think of how many times the Lord said, "Not yet." 8 years he had been diagnosed, that we know that he had cancer. But it was probably longer than that, probably much longer than that. And yet God just kept pulling him back and pulling him back. The Lord would arrest the cancer. He would stop it. The doctors would just be scratching their head and say, and I talked to one of them, "I just don't understand this." Well, can you fathom God? God in His timing? Because it wasn't Don's time. 4:05 Monday afternoon was his time. each time Don, as he would be, as he was sick, he would call us, we would pray. How many times as he stood here, right here in this very spot, and we've anointed him and prayed for him, and we saw God push back the cancer again and again and again. Each time, Don would give praise to God. You know, about the only thing that I could never forgive Don for was how he would mash the New England Patriots in my face when they beat my Dallas Cowboys. And I tried to edit that out of those pictures, but we could, Ajax wouldn't take it off. What, Martha? Yes, sir. He tried to get us to wear Patriot paraphernalia, but we wouldn't do it. I mean, Jason wouldn't even stoop down to that. I mean, come on. Did Don fulfill Matthew 28:19-20? As you go, preach, teach, baptize. Yes, he did. You can probably think of some things over the last 20 years that Don did wrong. Ooh, let's take a look at your life over the last 20 years. How about it? When God saves anybody, who is He saving? He's saving a sinner. We have been saved by grace through faith. And I praise the Lord for that. Now, there's one thing that no one's mentioned so far, and I'm surprised no one mentioned it. I used to ask Don a question all the time. What was that question, John? Bowling or Jesus? Some of you remember that, because Don got in a bowling league that happened to be on the night that his life group met. And not that we'd be a good Jewish mother and try to put a guilt trip or anything on him, but we'd say, Don, is going to be bowling or Jesus? Which one? And I think I gave him a bowling ball one time that someone had given to me that had no holes in it. Anyway, I gave him a recorder about 6 months ago so he could record a few things. And some of them just make me laugh, and then some of them I just want to cry my eyeballs out. One of the things that he would say over and over again was, one of his prayers was, Lord, heal me or take me home. He said, you know, I wasted a lot of time before I came to Jesus. But once he came to the Lord, he invested his life in seeing that other people came to know Jesus. You know the big thing that he missed about being sick? It wasn't work, though he missed that some. He said, I just want to be with my church family. I just so want to be there. He wanted to be here one more time. And over again, he said, I pray that the testimony of my life will show Jesus to someone else. He said, I've had a good life here in Savannah, Georgia. And we can validate that. Monday afternoon, gets up, goes to the bathroom with help, comes back a couple of times, goes to the kitchen, back and forth, in the bed. We're trying to keep him in the bed. John comes. John's talking to him. They're back and forth. He wants to go out on the back porch. And John says, I'll take him on out there. So they go on the back porch. Don sits down in the chair, looks up, full face, and John starts singing Amazing Grace. And Donnie breathed his last breath on this side. What a blessing. Thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We do not have in this life only to glory. We have forever to be with Him. We are but just a little while. We are living in tents. We're looking for the city. It's just a brief time. We're here. And no, Don is not coming back to us. He is at home with the Lord, but all of us who have placed our faith and trust in Jesus Christ are going to meet Him one day, one way or the other. Either go on ahead and meet the Lord or be caught up when the Lord comes back. One way or the other, but we're going to be together forever. All those who know Him, not know about Him, not know information, not know the church, but know Jesus personally. That's who Don Warren met those years, 2 decades ago, and God changed his life. Johnny, would you come and lead us in prayer, please?
You know, it's been interesting to hear all your stories, because even though I was part of Don's life a lot, I didn't get to hear all of the details of how he moved inside your own lives. It was a privilege to know Don and to know him on the front end of his salvation and on the last moments of his salvation here on earth. And my life is richer knowing him and being a part of his life. His life was bigger than Don because he was obedient with what he had. And what he used, he was obedient with. And the Lord multiplied that in many lives. And it was an honor to know him and a privilege. And I think you see that as well in your own lives, of how you interacted with him and how the Lord interacted through him with you. Let's pray. Well, Lord, I do thank you for a life of submission to you, with what he had, and the way that you've used that in many lives, Lord, just as Dusty mentioned, the lives that are going to be seen in heaven because of Don's obedience and his ministry that you gave him, the things that you put in his hand that he shared with people and led people to the Lord. I thank you for that. Thank you for the many years of knowing him and the many years of ministry partnership together with him. Thank you for what you've shown to me in his life as an example. I pray, Lord, that you'll bring comfort to the family. You'll help them to maybe see even a little bit clearer than what they may have known over the last few years of how Don served you and who he became in you. And we give you the honor and the praise that you're due because of what you did in his life. Thank you for this time that we've been able to celebrate his life here. And we thank you that he is with you, dancing on the streets of gold, in your presence, seeing so many that have gone on before. And we thank you, Lord, that there's happy reunion one day for those that have turned their lives over to you. And so, Lord, we look forward to the many that will come yet because of the ministry that you worked out in Don's life. give you the praise for all of this. Pray in Christ's name. Amen.
I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save.
Before you leave, I have one more thing for you. How many of you have sat next to Don in church? And the laying on of hands has almost taken place like this before. You're all invited to a dessert fellowship over in the fellowship hall. There is red velvet cake over there, which is Don's favorite dessert, and many other desserts. So come and join us, and we can fellowship a little bit more. God bless you, and thank you for your attendance here tonight.